We finished, without much ceremony, the study on the hidden life of prayer last time, appropriately looking at the great answers to prayer. Christ had said that pray in secret, your Father who hears in secret will reward you openly. Let's take a couple of weeks then, if God allows, to speak of something that deals with everyday life and everybody's involved. I'm going to be giving you an example here of a young family who learns this lesson, but this is about us at every age, because we're not hermits living in a cave on the mountaintop. We are people that live with people. And because of that, there is a potential strife, potential problems. And so getting along, can't we all just get along? Well, it depends. It depends on whether you're willing to do what is necessary for that. So we want to talk in this time and next time, as God allows, yielding personal rights. Now, just saying those three words could tend to make us bristle. How dare you say I give up my personal rights? These are my personal rights. I have a right to my rights. Let's just recognize that under God, everything we have and everything we are belongs to Him. The Apostle Paul called himself the slave of Jesus Christ many, many times. What personal rights does a slave have? He has no personal rights. Life and death is in the hands of his master. So let's rethink this thing, personal rights. The world is always emphasizing their rights, their personal rights. And this is one of the sources of anger and worry. You holding on to your personal rights helps to breed anger and worry. So here's my story, and I'm sticking with it. A pastor sat at a conference table with a family that had not been able to achieve harmony for the last several months. They had come to ask how they could get this accomplished. Really tired of the strife. Each one was given a sheet of paper and asked to describe the last three situations in which he lost his temper. After a short pause, the 10-year-old raised his hand and said, "Should I choose three from today or one from the last 3 days?" Things were tough. When the project was completed, each was asked to list all the rights that he felt he had as a member of the family. You want to peek over their shoulder and see what they wrote? Here are some of the rights listed. Number one, the right to express personal opinions without being jumped on. That's my personal right. Number two, the right to be accepted as an individual, not just as part of the group. I have my own opinions. Three, the right to plan how free time will be used. If it's free time, shouldn't I be free to plan how it's used instead of it being planned for me? Four, in a crowded family, right to privacy. Five, the right to earn and spend money. Six, the right to choose friends, even if they're not exactly what other people would want to choose. And number seven, the right to control the use of personal belongings. They're my belongings. I should be able to control them. Now, two different things. Arguments and personal rights. Nancy.
That was what they wrote.
That's what they wrote.
They didn't say like a right to 3 meals a day or clean clothes?
No. Just personal rights. What they demanded for themselves. Yeah. So you say, why would the pastor ask them to do that? Well, each one was asked to review the recent situations that they had described, the arguments, and identify if a personal right had been violated that caused the turmoil. Each saw there was a direct connection between the two lists. Based on this discovery, each one realized that a significant key to the solution of his family conflict would come in an accurate and scriptural response to his personal rights. We have to think the way God thinks about this, or we're never going to get this thing settled. So the family was given the following ideas to consider. Personal responsibility accompanies personal rights. Personal responsibility. You can't just have personal rights. You have to take the personal responsibility that accompanies it. Now, recognize this. Personal rights are related to anger. As much as it seems as though we would love to hold on to our personal rights, I have a right, we have to recognize that these are clearly related to anger. There are few family arguments that cannot be traced back to personal rights that have been violated. When these rights are identified and fully committed to God, an entirely new perspective is gained in family harmony. Identified and then committed to God. This is the sacrifice of your personal rights before God. Two of the teens explained their problems. The right to control the use of personal property. My conflict, she said, is with my sister. She took my clothes out of my closet without asking me. I got very perturbed, and I asked her why she didn't ask me. I would have considered lending something to her if she would have requested it. Then I lost my control of my temper and started yelling, kind of. Another part of the conflict, the right to divide housework with others in the family. Quote, today my brother was cleaning our room, his side. He found my junk on his side. I had thrown it away, but somebody had gotten it out. He hates me and had been throwing junk on my side that wasn't mine. I hadn't read my Bible, and being out of fellowship, I hit him on the head with some cardboard. That's how it started. During our fight, he swore, used bad language. He hates me more now. My parents don't spank him like they should. If they used more discipline, he wouldn't be like this at all. Rights. Divide the housework. So the pastor was explaining to them four steps in yielding personal rights. And these are universal steps. These are things that you can do, whatever your particular problems are. I don't know, Catherine, living where you live, you're packed in with a lot of people. And I just imagine that this has some definite application to people living in a community like that. Well, so you don't have to have a house full of teenagers for this to matter. So the four steps are these. Number one, identify the rights involved. That's what the pastor had them do when they wrote the list. In the case of the girl whose sister takes her clothes, there are at least two rights involved when you get into it. She explains further. The right to control the use of her own clothes. She said, "My sister is in eighth grade. She doesn't really wear the same size clothes I do, but she borrows mine anyway. Then, instead of hanging them up, she crumples them in a ball and throws them under the bed. This gets me so mad that we're almost always fighting." The right to control the use of my own clothes. And then, to top it off, the right to have her mother understand her position, the offended one. To make matters worse, my mother sides with her whenever I say anything. One day, I bought a new pair of slacks, and my sister wore them. After she got home, she folded them up and put them away. I thought that was rather strange. Until I went to wear them, she had fallen while wearing them, and one whole knee was ripped out. Mommy took her side. I have a right for a mother to understand my position. So, identify the rights involved. You find yourself upset. You find yourself in a turmoil. The way it works with me is that I feel that before I even know that it's happening. I'm upset, and I'm grumbling and griping. And then I have to analyze, why am I feeling this way? And once we get down to it, you identify the rights involved. I begin by saying they shouldn't have done that to me. And then the question is, what should they have done to me? That's my personal rights. They should have honored my personal rights. That's how they should have handled me, you see. All right, so step one, get into it, identify the rights involved. What are you claiming is your right that they had no right to violate? As you consider the anger involved. Step number two, consider the concept of transferring these rights to God. Giving them up. Not to the person who's using your clothes or whatever, but to God. In the discussion that followed, this teen, whose clothes were being used without permission, learned that the rights to her clothes could not be transferred without also transferring the ownership of the clothes. Here's the point. Rights and responsibility accompany ownership of personal property. Rights and responsibility. Since in her thinking she owned the clothes, she maintained the rights and all the responsibility for her clothes. However, if she mentally transferred the ownership to God, then God would assume the chief responsibility to protect her clothes, as well as the rights to their use. The pastor said, "This may sound strange, but have you ever thought about dedicating your clothes to God?" Girl, that does sound strange. I've never heard of doing that. Pastor said, an effective Christian will dedicate whatever he acquires, whatever he considers his, will dedicate it to God so that the real responsibility of protection and effective use will rest with the Lord and not upon his own abilities. It's not up to you to fight for these. Girl, what if I dedicate them to God and my sister still borrows them and ruins them? This doesn't seem to work, see? I need to have an alarm on my clothes. I need to have a booby trap on my clothes. I need something that will stop her. So giving it to God, here's the principle. God is real, and God will always take good care of his own property. pastor said, when you dedicate your clothes to God and she continues to take them, she's not taking your clothes. How refreshing is that? She's actually taking God's clothes. She's kind of in trouble with him now. When this happens, to answer her question, what if she still borrows them, ruins them? When this happens, and you share the problem with the Lord, you will see how powerful he really is. He is bigger than your sister. He can place it in your sister's heart to take care of the clothes if she borrows them, and even hang them up after she wears them. The girl said, this sure sounds strange. Sounds miraculous. Pastor said, would you be willing to try it? She was. So the third step, identifying and desiring to transfer ownership, is the actual transferring of the ownership to God. This transfer of ownership was done through a sincere prayer of dedication, not saying a prayer, but praying. You see the difference. Before she prayed, the pastor shared the story of Abraham dedicating his son Isaac upon the altar from Genesis 22. I have to think about all that Isaac meant to him, but God said, sacrifice him to me. And so going through that entire thing, as much as those clothes meant to her, she wanted to lay them on the altar before God. So the girl was encouraged to picture herself kneeling at an altar and placing all her clothes on that altar, just as Abraham did with his son. The pastor suggested the following prayer, something like this. Lord, right now I dedicate all my clothes to you. From this moment on, they don't belong to me anymore, but to you. You have the right to the way they're used, and I'm responsible under you to take care of them. So I'm not going to wait for you to wash them for me, pick them up, whatever. Under you, I'll take care of them, but they belong to you. I'll be your servant and take care of your clothes that you let me wear. So with that suggestion, she sincerely prayed that prayer. She transferred ownership. And then the fourth step is this. Purpose to thank God whatever the outcome, because now it's his problem, not yours. This concept of thanking God for whatever he allows is the key to yielding rights. The scripture tells us this, right? Thank God in all things. But this is the key to yielding rights. It predetermines the idea that God may test her sincerity in giving her clothes to God by allowing her sister to wear and even misuse the clothes. Did you really mean it? God might be asking. Or are you taking back ownership as soon as you see something's going wrong? You think, I'm not handling it well enough, God says, so you want to take it back and do it your way. This is a test. So, principle. The key to determine if you have fully yielded a personal right is the anticipation to thank God whatever the outcome. It's not about the outcome to see if God did it right. It's the commitment. And I will look forward to thanking God however he handles it, because that's up to him, and he's wiser than I am. So if her sister misused her clothes, she would still be able to thank the Lord, because this would be an opportunity for her to prove to him, the one she promised, that she really did give her clothes to him. She would also have the confidence that the Lord would use this situation for his own glory, whether it would be to teach her new lessons in trust or to let her sister see a new attitude in her. That would be a big part of this. You're not the grasping person you were before. 4 days later, she returned to the pastor with this report. It worked! The pastor said, that's great. What worked? What are we talking about? The girl. Giving my clothes to the Lord. I can hardly believe what happened. I didn't tell my sister or anyone else about our talk. But since that time, I haven't had one fight with my sister. She only borrowed my clothes once, but for the first time, she actually came home and hung them up. She even ironed the blouse she wore. I just can't get over it. The power of God, exercising his right of ownership. So, extrapolating from this specific to other things, from this experience, the girl was able to apply these four steps in regard to other rights. So let me have you expand your thinking, how you might be able to do this. Identify the anger is linked to the personal right you felt was violated. How dare you speak to me like that? How dare you not speak to me when I was there and you didn't speak? All these things, personal rights. I have a right to be recognized. Well, here are some rights that we may take to the altar instead of clinging to them ourselves. How about our health? Brother Jeb Porter called me to say, I know you've been praying for my nasal surgery. So I just wanted to give you an update. Well, it ends up that the overall plan is that he should take 2 weeks for the healing. It's been 1 week. And he was getting upset that it's taken too long. Heidi read him the report. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And so he said he'd been feeling lethargic and he has to stop taking certain pain medications. He takes only another that's not working very well. The pain is still there. He dropped something this morning and forgot the restrictions and he bent clear down to pick it up and went, oh! And the pressure on his nose, he says, it's giving me bad pain most of the day. However, with all of that, he's noticed little bit by little bit, an improvement. He does a nasal wash thing, and at the beginning it was disgusting to see all the blood coming out because of the surgery. He says, now there's still blood coming out, but it's a darker blood. He says, I think it's just what's dried up there from before. And what if we decided that we didn't have a personal right to our health? That it was in the hands of God. We turn it over to God. We set it on the altar and say, I'll try to maintain it the best I can, but I give it to you. So if my health fails, that's God's concern. How about our reputation? What if somebody said something about us? And maybe it was not true. Maybe it was true to one degree, but not like what they said it. What if we just give that whole reputation to God to protect instead of fighting for it? What about our possessions? Clothes, everything. How about our time? They're intruding on my time, my personal time. I have a right to my time. Nancy just gave David one of these. Now I've stopped preaching, gone to meddling. How about our money? Our money. And then let's lump everything else together. How about our future? What if we don't have much of a future? Is it really in our hands anyway? Do we have a right to describe a future that's glowing and so on? Can I urge you to go to the altar? Maybe we're walking along with Abraham and Isaac now. We'll take some of these rites and we'll bind them up like he did Isaac. And with tender care and tears in our eyes, we'll lay them on the altar. And we'll say, "Now, Lord, they're yours. If you give them back to me, I will praise God, but I will not be angry if you don't give them back, because they're not mine anymore. They're yours." And it takes all the wind out of your anger. It takes all the power out of your fighting, striving, grasping. I think it's a good idea. Yielding personal rights.